Okay, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Kron. We are on Samach Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, about two-thirds of the way down. So when we met last week, we talked about a machlokes between Rabbi Elezer and the Chachamim about Nolad. And we were talking in general about the concept of Hataras Nedarim, where someone makes a neder and they come to a Chacham or a Bezdin to get the vow annulled. And Rabbi Elazar held that when you had a situation that he referred to as a nolad, which we could define as a new circumstance, that was a justification for annulling the vow. And examples of that might be that someone says, I'm not going to benefit from such and such a person, and that person becomes a sofer, so therefore he's going to need him, or he says, I make a neder that I'm not going to benefit from this house, and that house becomes a shul, and he's going to need it. So those are examples. So Rabbi Elezer held that was a valid annulment reason. The Chachamim disagreed. So now we're going to start with the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir was included with the Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Elezer. But he says, Yesh devarim shehin kenolan ve'ena kenolan. There are things that are like a nolad and not like a nolad. So somehow there it's like a different category. Yesh shehin kenolan ve'ena kenolan, right? There are things like that. And his view is that those things become automatically null and void. So you don't even have to go to make a Hataras Nedarim in those instances, right? The Chachamim do not agree with him. So he would say that these things that are in this category are automatic annulled. You don't have to do anything. The Chachamim did not agree. So he did not agree with Rabbi Elezer that nolad was a valid reason. But these things that are in this category, he would say these are so different that you don't even have to do anything about them. They're automatically annulled. And again, the rest of the Chachamim do not agree. Kate, what are we talking about here? Amar, someone says, Konam shani nosa es ponish avira. I am making a neder against this woman that because her father is a wicked person. Amrulo meish osha asa tshuva. And then they come to him and they said, you know what, that father, he either died or he did tshuva, so he's no longer a wicked person. So that might be something that's a new, somehow that's considered a nolad, but ain't a nolad. We're not really sure why he uses that term to describe it, but it's the prerequisite for what he said is no longer there. So he would say that that's a case of something that's automatically annulled. Or, konam v'yaseh shani nechnas, this house that I'm going into, is that I'm not going to go into this house. It's forbidden to me. Why? Shakel of Rabatocho. It has a bad dog. Oh, Sharnakash Batocho. Or there's a snake, right? So both of these things are like the reasons he's not going into it. Armulo, they told him, Mesa Kelev, Oh, Sharnaharaganakash. He said the dog died or the snake was killed. And Arnold, before you ask, it could be the other way around. It could be that the dog was killed and the snake died. Either way. Hare hein kenolad ve'ena kenolad. That fits into this category of nolad ve'ena kenolad. And he would say, these things are automatically thrown away. You don't have to do anything about them because the prerequisite has gone away. Ve'ein chachamim odom. The chachamim do not agree with him. Okay, the Mishnah had said konam, etc. So we talked about the case of the person said, I want no benefit from her because her father was wicked. Mace, nolad, but mace, the fact that the father died is a nolad. It's a new development, right? So why do we call it this whole situation of nolad vein or nolad, right? So why is it different than what we talked about in the last Mishnah? So Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are going to try to explain it. Rav Huna says, I'm Rav Huna, nase ketola dvara bedavar, nidra bedavar. Here, because of the way he's stating the neder, it's as if he's making a dependency. Because he's saying, like in the first case, he's saying, She'avia ra, or She'hakelav. So this is, you know, he's basically saying, because he's putting in this explanation of why he's making the neder, and therefore Rav Huna says, the reason here it's different is because in the neder itself, he's stating why he's making the neder, and because that condition is not really existent anymore, then the neder should go away. However, Rabbi Yochanan gives a different answer. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Kfar makes a kfar asa tshuva kamrile. He says, no, it's not that it happened after he made the neder, but before he even made the neder, these conditions did not exist. So he's saying, I'm making a neder because the father is wicked, and the father's already dead, or the father's already done tshuva. So therefore, the whole prerequisite for there is not there. So the Gemara is going to question Rav Yochanan again. Rav Yochanan is saying that it was something that already happened. Masiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba is asked a question from a Mishnah we're going to learn next week. Kodem Shani Nosel Aponis Ka'ura. I am making a neder that I'm not going to benefit from such and such a girl because she is ugly. But she's actually not ugly, she's beautiful. Shlora, she's dark skinned. No, she's snow white. Ksara, she's short. No, she's short because she's short. No, she's actually tall. Mutarba, he is allowed to marry her, meaning the neder is automatically null and void. And it's not, lo mipnei shek u'ra v'nasas not. It's not, the situation is not that one day she was ugly and the next day she was beautiful. Shchora v'nasa levana, or that one day she was dark and the next day she was light. Ksara v'nasa ruka, one day she was short and the next day she was light. It's not because it's the facts on the ground were changed. Ella shahaneder ta'os, right? That the whole circumstance of the neder is a mistake. So Rav Yochanan is saying in his explanation is that it's because the neder was a mistake, right? So why do you need two Mishnayos back to back that say the same thing, right? So perhaps it's not the same thing. So Bishlamo Rav Huna, that therefore what we're saying here is that Rav Huna's explanation makes more sense. Rav Huna said that it was, he put in a condition into the neder itself, and when the condition changed, the situation changed, right? D'amar nasek etala nidra b'davar. He says, it's as if he made the neder dependent upon the condition. Tana tola nidra b'davar. And according to Rav Huna, that because he made the neder a condition, the tana neder taos, and then later on, in the next mission, he teaches the halacha of a neder that was made by mistake. So it's not that it's redundant. It's two different learnings. In our Mishnah, it's saying that he made a dependency. The dependency went away, and therefore the neder goes away. And next Mishnah, next week, we're going to learn that he made a neder. There was a mistake in the neder, and that's why that neder goes away. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's the Amar Kfar makes a Kfar as a tshuva. He says that it was, the facts were already not accurate. Why do I have to teach back to back this week and next week about a neder that was made by mistake? So therefore, it has to be, it can't really work with Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. Therefore, is a problem with Rabbi Yochanan, and most likely the answer is Rav Huda's explanation is that because he made it a dependency, that is why it's we're able to. That's why it becomes, according to Rabbi Meir, automatic annulment. And again, the Chachamim did not agree with this, but this is Rabbi Meir's position. Next Mishnah. V'od Amar Rabbi Meir. Poskim al min hakasuv shebe Torah. We can also find an opening for somebody from a pasuk written in the Torah. V'omrim lo, ilu ha'isi yodea. That he made a neder. The guy made a neder. He's not going to allow someone to benefit from him. Ilu ha'ita yodea. Sha'ata over al. You're over these psukim in the Torah that say, lo tikom. You should not take revenge. He's angry at the person and therefore makes a neder. Or v'al lo titor. You should not bear a grudge. Again, he's angry at the person and he makes a neder. V'al lo tisna sachicha b'lavecha. You should not hate your brother in your heart. V'ahafta l'reicha kamocha. Or the pasuk of that you should, you know, love your brother, that you should allow your brother to live with you, which teaches about the halachas of tzedakah, right? That you should take care of your brother, right? Shehu ani v'ena tayachol farnaso. Now you made a neder against this person, and because of that, these psukim are not. You know, the psukim say that you should give the person tzedakah, and now you're not allowed to give him tzedakah. You're not going to be able to give him tzedakah because you made this neder. Is that, you know, he would say that is a possibility to allow the neder to be annulled. Amar, if he then says, Ila hayiti yodea, if I had known, shukain lo hayiti noder, if I had known that this was the case, if I had known that this was this would prevent me from fulfilling a mitzvah in the Torah, I would not have made this neder. Hareza mutar, this would be annulled, right? So again, Rav Meir would say that in this case, he's allowed to go to the Beis Din and get it annulled. So in the earlier case, we learned that it was automatic annulment. Here we say that this is just an opening that Rav Meir would add in by virtue of that there's a pasuk in the Torah to have a condition. Okay, now going to the Gemara. So we learned about that this pasuk says v'chayi chacha imach, that you know the person is supposed to live with you teaches that you're supposed to do tztaka. So the Gemara is going to question Armalei Rav Huna Bar Katina le Rava. Rav Huna Bar Katina said to Rava, Neima kol demayne lav alai nafal. Why can't we explain this away and say that okay, you know the person you're supposed to support your you know impoverished brother. But he should say, it's not me alone that has to support this person, right? Maybe, okay, the person has to be supported with tzedakah, but why does that fall on me, right? My, the mati lefarnasa, why does it have to fall solely on me to take care of him? Bahadei kuli, alma lefarnasa lei. What I could do is give money to the rabbi's discretionary fund, and the rabbi will support the person, and therefore, by giving to this discretionary fund, I could allow this person to be supported, right? So it's not like I'm unable to find a way to provide stucco or to support it. So we're able to allow the mitzvah of the chayi chacha imach to happen. So why is this a good enough explanation to do that? Why is it my ability to support him communally not good enough? Gemara answers Armalei, Ani Omer kol nofel eni nofel lidei gabay tchila. But you know, and the reality is, if someone, God forbid, is going through financial issues, he doesn't automatically go all the way down to the level of needing communal support. First, he might need help from person A, one person, and then another person, and then it becomes more significant, right? So he's preventing himself from being able to help the guy at all. So therefore, he has to wait until the guy becomes very significantly impacted before he's able to help him. And therefore, this might be a valid opening to happen. Okay, good. Next Mishnah. Postman la'adam b'ksuvas ishto. Right, you're allowed to find an opening for a person based upon his having to pay his ksuba. Now we had learned with the ksuba that when a man betroths a woman, he does a ksuba, and in the ksuba there is a obligation of support. You know, there's a different level for whether the woman's a basula or not a basula, and the person can add on more. Umasa be'echa, there was a case of a person shenadar m'ishto ana, and he made a neder that he's not allowed to have physical relations with his wife, and therefore was required to divorce her because that's one of the obligations of the ksuba. Vaisa ksuvasa arba ma'os dinar. And his ksuba was 400 dinar. So typically this is more than the regular ksuba. So typically someone who's a basula, the ksuba is 200 zuz, but he made his ksuba at a higher level. He made it 400. Ubalifne Rabbi Akiva, and he came before Rabbi Akiva. V'chayva litam l'ksuvasa. And Rabbi Akiva told him that he's required to pay the ksuba. Amarleo, so the guy said to Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe, shmona ma'os dinar haniach abba. My father who passed away left me a Yerusha, an inheritance of 800 dinar. Nato achay arba ma'os ani arba ma'os. And I had to split it with my brother 50-50. I got 400, he got 400. Lo daya shetitol hi ma'atayim ani ma'atayim. Shouldn't I be able to just give her 200 and keep 200 for myself? Why do I have to give her the full 400? For 400 dinar here. Why do I have to give her everything that I have? Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answered him, Afilo ata mocher sarashcha. Even if you have to sell the hair on your head, ata nosin laksuvasa. You're required to pay her full ksuba payment. Then he said, Armalo. And then he answered Rabbi Akiva, Ila yitin on yodea shikain. If I had known this, lo hayiti noder. I would never have made this neder. Right, I never would have done this. V'tira Rabbi Akiva said, "Oh, good enough. Because you now realize that you would not have made this neder because of this circumstance." Rabbi Akiva allowed him to do matir neder. So therefore, that the husband's realizing that he has to pay the ksuba is enough of a reason to give him an opening to go to a bezin to get hataras nedarim. So the Gemara is going to ask just some practical questions based upon what Rabbi Akiva said here. So we had learned when we did ksubas that when you someone says does a ksuba, it's backed up by real property, not by metalta, not by movable property. And money in this case is movable property, right? It's not land or anything like that. So therefore, why the question, you know, on a logistical level is why is he obligated to use his to exhaust his money here when the ksuba isn't necessarily backed up with money per se? So Gemara answers Amar Abaye. Karka Shavishmon must, you know, what really happened here is that the father had land that was worth 800 dinar, and that's what he split up between him and his brother. They each got 400 dinar worth of land. So it really wasn't metaltalin, it really was land. The Haktani say a Rosha. But then we learned that Rabbi Akiva taught him, hey, you have to, you know, sell the hair on your head if you had to in order to provide for a ksuba. Useya Rosha Metaltlihu, and guess what? Hair is also metaltlin, it's movable property. It's not your hair, is not land. So Rabbi Akiva must say that, you know, metaltlin are necessary to back the ksuba. Hachi Kamra, this is actually what Rabbi Akiva is really saying. Afiu atamocha sa rosh leva ochel. Even if you have to sell the hair on your head in order to support yourself, that's what you have to do. So in other words, you have to give her everything you have, and then if as a result of that, you have to, you know, sell the hair on your head to support yourself, that's what you have to do. So therefore, that, you know, he wasn't giving him any leniency by saying, hey, because you're losing all your money, you're not required to do the ksuba. Shmat minei ein misadrin leval chov. So there's a whole concept of what's known as misadrin leval chov, that if someone owes somebody money, the Beis Din is able to kind of do like an assessment of saying, what does this guy really need to do in order to sustain himself? And therefore only leave it, you know, and still leave him with what his basic requirements are. So if someone owes someone $1,000, the Beis Din might say, you know, he needs $150 to sustain himself, and therefore we're only going to make him pay $850. And this is a machlokas. There are different people who say that this works, that this allowance is there, and some people say this allowance is not there. And we're suggesting from here that Rabbi Akiva must say that he is not, he doesn't go this way. He would have to make him pay out his full amount and not leave him over anything for himself. Amar Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak. He says, no, Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak disagrees with this. Lomar she'ei mekaren shtak tzuvasa. What we say here is no, that even in a case where they would do this assessment to let the guy have money, they still would not say, okay, that's the end of the deal. That would be that what they would say is that whenever the wife gets, whenever the husband gets additional funds, he's still required to continue to pay the wife. So Rabbi Akiva is not telling the husband that he has to pay the full amount, even if he's going to have nothing left over. He might be telling him that you have to pay him whatever you can pay him and still enable yourself to survive, but then you still have a debt and you have to pay that debt. So he's warning him that even if he gives, you know, so nothing he's going to do here is going to exempt him from having to pay her. So overall, he's saying that Rabbi Akiva is basically saying there's no way out. You're going to have to pay her this debt. You're going to have to pay her yiksuba, you know, because you made this neder, and that was why Rabbi Akiva was willing to let him out of the neder, because he said, had I known this, I would not have made the neder. So we'll pause here. Next week, Mirtz Hashem will pick up with Tzanach Vav. Everyone should have a wonderful day.